Hi, this is R.C. Sproul inviting you to join me this coming summer for another breathtaking cruise to Alaska. This year, once again, we'll be going to Alaska from June 15 to June 22nd. And the subject I'll be lecturing on is Chosen by God. Now, some of you have already been with us on that voyage to Alaska, and you know really how spectacular that is. It's my favorite place to cruise. And in 08, we'll be going on another Holland American ship, the MS Westerdam, which will sail out of Seattle, Washington, and we'll be visiting Glacier Bay National Park. And if you've never been on that inside channel of Glacier Bay, you haven't seen anything yet. That is fantastic. And we'll be at Juneau, the capital of Alaska, the Sitka, Ketchikan, Victoria, British Columbia, and these ports of call. So if you're interested at all in planning a vacation with us in June of 08, where we'll be studying the doctrine of election together, for more information, give us a call at 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343, or visit us online at ligonier.org. That's ligonier.org, and they will give you all of the information of the different levels of cabins that are available and the various price structure. So think about this. We'd love to have you, and join us. You'll have a great time.
What's the cost of misguided anger? How much can be lost when anger wins? Stay tuned. Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul is next. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Renewing Your Mind with author, teacher, and theologian Dr. R.C. Sproul. All of us from time to time make bad decisions motivated by anger, only to regret them afterwards when the anger subsides. In the history of God's people, there are manifold examples of people making costly decisions based on misguided anger. How did God work the bad decisions of people in His plans? In today's lecture, we'll hear Dr. Sproul give us two good reasons why we should control our anger. Here now is our teacher with today's lecture, When Anger Destroys.
When we remember Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, we're likely to think immediately of his sons, who became the 12 tribes of Israel. And he also was blessed with daughters, one of whom's name was Dinah. And Dinah figured in an incident of great pain and scandal in the Old Testament history. We read in the 34th chapter of the book of Genesis this account. Now Dinah, the daughter of Leah, whom she had borne to Jacob, went out to see the daughters of the land. And when Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he took her and lay with her and violated her. His soul was strongly attracted to Dinah, the daughter of Jacob, and he loved the young woman and spoke kindly to the young woman. And so Shechem spoke to his father, Hamor, saying, "Get me this young woman as a wife." Now Jacob heard that he had defiled Dinah, his daughter. And his sons were with the livestock in the field, and so Jacob held his peace until they came. Now what has happened here is that there is a man who is smitten with love for Dinah, and he violates her. It's a kind of rape, to be sure, which is a dreadful crime against this girl and against her family. It wasn't the same kind of rape that occurs in the darkness of night when somebody viciously attacks a woman out of hostility. This man forced himself upon her out of a motivation of unbelievable passion because he was so smitten with her, and he confessed it. And Jacob hears about it, and Jacob is very upset, but he holds his peace until he can have a complete hearing on the matter and discuss it with his sons. Well, what happens when his sons come back from the field? Well, we read here in verse 7, we read, "And the sons of Jacob came in from the field when they heard it, And the men were grieved and very angry because he had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing which ought not to be done. Now, let's just stop there. The scriptures say that the brothers of Dinah were angry. Did they have reason to be angry? Did they have a reason to be grieved? Of course they did. And is it not so what the scriptures say, that this thing ought not to have been done? But now Jacob deals with the young man and with the young man's father and seek peace and reconciliation. And the request is made for the hand of Dinah. And Jacob agrees to it, but only on certain conditions. He said, I can't allow my daughter to marry pagans, uncircumcised Gentiles. And so Shechem and his family agree to be circumcised, and all of their men, in order that he might marry Dinah and that he may make some kind of compensation for this crime against her. And apparently all of this satisfies Jacob, the father of Dinah. But it doesn't satisfy the brothers. Now listen what happens with the rest of the story, or the end of the story. Verse 25. Now it came to pass on the third day, when they were in pain, that two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, each took his sword and came boldly upon the city and killed all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and went out. And the sons of Jacob came upon the slain and plundered the city because their sister had been defiled. They took their sheep, their oxen, their donkeys, and what was in the city and what was in the field, and all of their wealth. And all their little ones and their wives they took captive, and they plundered even all that was in the house. Almost reminds you of the Iliad, where a whole nation went to war over the capture of Helen of Troy. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, you have troubled me by making me obnoxious among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and since I am few in number, they will gather themselves together against me and kill me. I shall be destroyed, my household and I. But they said, listen to their answer, should he treat our sister like a harlot? What's the matter with you, father? Are you going to let these people get away with this crime? All we did was avenge our sister. Is that all Jacob said? You killed the man. You killed his father. You killed every male in the city that had come under my protection, trusting my promise of peace. And not only did you rise up and kill them, but you took their children captive. You plundered their villages. You took all of their possessions. You went out on a vendetta worse than anything the Hatfield and the McCoys could ever think about. You didn't get revenge. You didn't get even. You became bloodthirsty and involved yourselves in a vendetta. How many times has that happened in human history, where one incident escalates to international consequences? And why did it happen? Because Levi and his brother were angry. Their anger was justifiable. But in their anger, they sinned. And what was the consequences for them? Let's go to the end of the book of Genesis, where we have the record of Jacob on his deathbed, dividing up the patriarchal blessing, the inheritance of the promises of God to his sons. In chapter 49 of Genesis, we read this account. Jacob called his sons and said, gather together that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. Reuben, you are my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power.
but unstable as water. You shall not excel, because you went up to your father's bed, and then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. Now, in the tradition, the firstborn is to receive the lion's share of the inheritance. And part of the inheritance of Jacob is the promise of God of a coming kingdom. Is Jesus in the New Testament called the Lion of Reuben? No, about the only thing that's been named after Reuben is a sandwich, not the kingdom of God. It is Judah who receives the promise of the kingdom. And it is from the tribe of Judah that Jesus, the Messiah, comes, not from the tribe of Reuben. Reuben, because of his incestuous act, was cut out of the inheritance. So that would then suggest that the next person in line to receive the inheritance would be whom? The next eldest. And so Jacob goes right down the list, and listen to what he says. The next eldest is Simeon, and after him Levi. And he says, Simeon and Levi are brothers. But instruments of cruelty are in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their counsel. Keep them away from me. I don't want to be a part of their committees. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. What do you suppose Jacob's thinking about here? Where earlier he had lamented that he had become a reproach to the nations because of the cruelty of his sons. That Jacob's reputation had been spoiled, that Jacob's word had been violated, and that now Jacob has been brought into dishonor because of the actions of his sons. And listen to what he says. For in their anger, they slew a man. And in their self-will, they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce. And their wrath, for it is cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. We also don't hear in the scriptures about the lion from the tribe of Simeon. Nor is the Messiah called the Lion of Levi. He is the Lion of Judah, because Judah's elder brothers were passed over, two of them as a direct result of a sinful expression of anger. Now, is this an isolated incident in the Old Testament where people in their anger do things that are so destructive and so violent and so cruel that they themselves miss the kingdom? Consider the wrath of Saul, the first king of Israel, who received the kingdom, but had the kingdom taken away because of his irrational tantrums and tirades of violence. David almost lost the kingdom for the same reason. David had a period in his life when he was a renegade outlaw in the wilderness, furious, angry, bitter, and violent. And it was during this period in his life that the incident took place with Nabal and Abigail. If you'll turn to the book of 1 Samuel, to the 25th chapter, we read of something that takes place immediately after the death of Samuel. In verse 2 of chapter 5, now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. And the man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. And the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and beautiful appearance, but the man was harsh and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. Now, what's going on here? David, we are told, then heard the reports that this very wealthy man by the name of Nabal had come to that time in the season where it was time for the shearing of sheep, which was a very laborious and expensive enterprise. David's men were short on provisions. And David had been very careful to honor the possessions of the flocks of Nabal. So often when a man has a bunch of outlaws running around with him, what do? They pillage the land. They take their provisions by force from the local farmers and so on. David's men had not done that. David's men had been very careful not only not to violate the property of Nabal, but actually to help Nabal's limited cowboys, if you will, or shepherds, in taking care of the flocks. And now David sends a message to Nabal asking for some small provisions and volunteers to help him with this shearing season. And when Nabal gets the request, listen to his response in verse 10. Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed from my shears and give it to men whom I do not know where they are from?" And so David's men turned on their heels and went back and came and told him these words. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is taking place in a land where probably the most famous person in all of the country was David. This is the man who killed Goliath, okay? And Nabal certainly knew who David was. But he not only refuses David's humble request, but in the process, he literally adds insult to injury, insulting David and David's father. Who's David? Who is this guy David? And who is this Jesse? Never heard of him. And David's servants come back and tell this to David. And David says, "Hey, it's all right. We'll get provisions somewhere else. This man's just being nasty, and he's given us an affront, but we have to learn how to patiently endure this kind of insult. Don't worry about it." That's not what my Bible says. I don't think it's what your Bible says, because that was not David's reaction. Listen to David's reaction. David then said to his men, verse 13, "Every man gird on his sword." So every man girded on his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And about 400 men went with David, and 200 stayed with the supplies. Now, where's he going? He's going after Nabal. He is so angry. David is saying, "Who does this guy think he is? I haven't harmed him. I've protected him. I've been kind to him. I've done nothing untoward about this man. And this is the thanks I get, that he won't give me a cup of cold water. That's it. I've had it. I'm taking my soldiers, and we're going to go, and we're going to wipe this crazy guy out." But then we read in verse 14 that one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against all our household, for he is such a scoundrel," that is our master, Nabal, "and one cannot speak to him." And so Abigail hurries up, takes 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep that are dressed already, and roasted grain, clusters of raisins, 200 cakes, and loads them on donkeys. And she goes out to meet David. Nabal is hiding back at the ranch. His wife knows that David, with an army in furious revenge, is coming against their homestead. And she makes a peace offering, making up all the things that David had requested and much more. And she sees David approaching, and she comes and she gets off of her donkey and she falls on the ground before David and apologizes for her husband and begs for David's mercy. And what does David do now? Does he say, get out of my way, woman. This has nothing to do with you. I want your husband. No, listen to David's response. In verse 32, David said to Abigail, blessed is the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed is your advice, and blessed are you, because you have kept me this day from coming to bloodshed and avenging myself with my own hand. That's the difference between David and Levi and his brother. The brothers of Jacob could not be stopped from their fury until they had killed all of the people associated with the affront against their sister. David is about to do the exact same thing until Abigail stops him in his tracks and said, David, don't do this. And suddenly the sun goes down on David's wrath. And he says, thank you. In my anger, in my fury, in my wrath, I was about to use my sword and spill the blood of people and bring dishonor to everyone involved. And that night, God judged Nabal and took his life. And Abigail, whose counsel of wisdom and of peace became the wife of David.
You're listening to Renewing Your Mind with Dr. R.C. Sproul, giving biblical examples of the destructive nature of anger. In a few moments, Dr. Sproul will give us some closing thoughts. Today's message, When Anger Destroys, is the fourth lecture in a five-part series entitled Anger. In this study, Dr. Sproul teaches us how God's righteous anger differs from man's sinful expression of anger, and explains that anger is justified when expressed rightly and without sin. The Anger series is available on two CDs for $1,360. Our toll-free number is 1-800-435-4343. Again, that's 1-800-435-4343. You can place an order or make a donation on the web at ligonier.org. Ligonier is spelled L-I-G-O-N-I-E-R. We'd like to tell you about today's offer for a donation of any amount. During this week on Renewing Your Mind, we'd like to send you a DVD series by Dr. Sproul entitled The Holiness of God. This classic series was designed to help Christians better understand the biblical picture of God's awesome holiness and why it's so foundational to God-centered, God-honoring theology and Christian living. The six-part DVD series, The Holiness of God, is available for a donation of any amount. So call now. Our toll-free number is 1-800-435-4343. Once again, that's 1-800-435-4343. You may also email us at info@ligonier.org. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is Ligonier Ministries, P.O. Box 863-595, Orlando, Florida 32886. Again, that's Post Office Box 863-595, Orlando, Florida 32886. Let's join Dr. Sproul again for some closing thoughts for today.
Today, we have looked at two examples of anger run amok, of anger that provoked actions that were not right. On the one hand, the sons of Jacob violated their father, violated their people, and violated God, and cost them the kingdom of God. David almost did the same thing, but was prevented by the wisdom and counsel of a woman who was more wise than David. Both of these stories I told today, again, to illustrate what the Bible says about anger. Be angry, but sin not, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Fortunately, David stopped short of violating God at this point, so that the Messiah, who was not called the son of Levi or the son of Reuben or the son of Simeon, was called the son of David.
Thank you for joining us for this Wednesday edition of Renewing Your Mind. Dr. Sproul will return tomorrow to conclude our biblical study of anger. You're listening to Renewing Your Mind, the listener-supported radio outreach of Ligonier Ministries with Dr. R.C. Sproul.